It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout the state of Pennsylvania. It's quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. And the gyms may not be full, but there's definitely no shortage of madness this college basketball season. For us fans, college basketball powers that be have gifted us with a top matchup between two powerhouses. This weekend, Gonzaga and Baylor will be going toe-to-toe for what could be the nation's top ranking. And DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is bringing you closer to the action with this can't-miss offer. DraftKings Sportsbook giving all college basketball fans who sign up now the chance to win $100 when betting on either Gonzaga or Baylor to win this clash of titans. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code KSN when you sign up for your shot to turn $1 into $100 when betting on either Gonzaga or Baylor to win. That's right, bet $1 to win $100. Use promo code KSN during sign-up to take advantage of this great offer for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dustin, when we wrapped up quarter number one, we were talking about the quarterbacks. And I would like to mention Will Levis. This is how it was supposed to be when the season started. Will Levis coming in short yardage situations. What did you think of the strategy?
I think once they can iron out the execution when those plays happen, you know, I think for the first three times, Audrey Snyder tweeted something out about it. It was basically a fumble and two penalties the first three times that the Will Levis, Wildcat, Lion, whatever they are calling it, whatever. When that package came on the field, the first three times, it did not end well. But as you know, he started to pitch in a little bit more. You do see the upside that brings. It's not the same as Sean Clifford lining up back there and running it. Even if the defense knows it's coming, mathematically and with his frame and with his power, with him getting north-south up the field, there's a good chance that you're getting 3 to 4 yards plus out of those plays. And you're right. This is how the staff envisioned it would play out, with Levis playing this role, not playing that starting quarterback role. Maybe we're starting to see a little bit of rhythm and a little bit of back to their original intentions when it comes to quarterback usage. But it's like, you know, not comparing him to Tim Tebow, but like every defense in the country, every defense in the SEC knew what was happening most of the time when Tim Tebow lined up and they were coming to smack you in the mouth. And he was so big and so physical that it didn't really matter a lot of the time. That's kind of the potential that Will Levis has with that frame. So I think sprinkling him in there, and then just when defenses start to cave and collapse, that's when you can probably see him, you know, pop a short pass and have it go long.
Or even just get the ball out to the running back running outside when everyone's keying on him. And I think it should be pointed out, the false start did happen with Kevon Lee the first time. After that, they were 3 for 3 using Will Levis in short yardage situations, getting either a first down or even a touchdown. So I'd say it seems to be rounding in the shape. We talked earlier about true freshman Kevon Lee. He wasn't the only true freshman with an impressive game. Parker Washington, I think, really established himself as that number two guy at wide receiver. And he actually appeared to be the favorite target of Sean Clifford.
I think he's just a different player than Jahan Dotson. You know, he was targeted 11 times in this game, caught 9 of them for 93 yards. He was automatic. He seemed to be exactly where Sean Clifford thought he would be, needed him to be. They seem to be in sync, in rhythm, and that's a really good, encouraging thing. That's going to be what his role is going forward. And I think, you know, as he gets a little bit more feel for the game, if he, as he gets a little bit faster, you're going to see him start to take some of these short passes and start to get some real yard after the catch. You haven't seen a ton of that so far. You haven't seen a lot of depth to his targets. Maybe that part of his game will evolve. But that's, you know, Jahan Dotson is a dynamic, explosive player. I think he's by far the best threat down the field, the most likely the guy to make the acrobatic catch, the most likely the guy to go up one-on-one jump ball situations. You've seen it already this year. He's that guy. But when it comes to possession, middle of the field, all the stuff you saw Parker Washington do, he's evolved and gotten better and better and better to this point, where now through 6 weeks, he's a really trusted option. And you saw him just make play after play after play. I don't know, other than that near fumble, you haven't seen him even earlier this season do silly things or make careless drops. You know, he's just a really heady type player already. And he's six games into his football career.
And we were told coming in as a high school player that he was built more like a running back, and we would see those yards after catch. Even though he didn't break anything huge, you did see some of that skill set where he did break some tackles, avoid some other tackles. We're going to see more of that from him. Going along with this idea, though, Dustin, of the young players showing well, I thought specifically the two tight ends did so much blocking, and that was a huge part of how the running game was so effective.
Yeah, and James Franklin has said it 1,000 times since he's gotten here. You know, that is high on his tight ends priority list. And, you know, I think you've seen, even with Pat Freiermuth, you know, you want to go compare him head-to-head with Kyle Pitts from Florida. There's not really a comparison to be made because I really feel like Pat Freiermuth's job, and now with Brenton Strange and Theo Johnson, those guys' primary job is to block first, and they'll get fed in the passing game. But they're not going to be the number one and number two options in the passing game. They're going to be asked to do traditional tight end things. And I think they're going to be better for it in the long run. And if, you know, a few years down the road, maybe the NFL comes calling for any of these guys in the future, they're going to be better prepared for that chance too. But you're right. They did a very nice job in the passing game. And I think the willingness to do it, the eagerness to do it, is half the battle. And it looks like, to me, Brenton Strange and Theo Johnson are ready, willing, and eager to be blockers. You know, and it can't always be said for tight ends coming out of high school, these young guys who want the glory work but don't necessarily want the dirty work. I think Mike Gesicki was a good look at that early in his Penn State career. But these guys are ready, and they're able to do it. And I think that's a good thing for the whole functionality of the offense. And I do think they have upside in both regards, too.
And let's face it, we all knew Pat Freiermuth, this was going to be his last season no matter what. This bodes well for next year. And when you're 0-5 and then now 1-5, you've got to, every game you look at, you also have an eye towards next season. And tight end, where we might have been concerned, I don't think we have those same concerns anymore. Next up, Dustin, a guy I want to give a quick shout out to is Isaac Lutz. He was a walk-on, correct?
Yeah.
And was actually a factor in this game.
Yeah, I think, what do you have, 3 catches for 30 yards? You saw him, you know, I think there are certain things, you know, these short routes and plays where you need the guy just to look it into your hands and catch the football. Isaac Lutz is capable of doing that. He's not going to burn opposing defenses. He's a wide receiver who moves kind of like a tight end. But he was good, and he rose to the occasion. I saw something after the game that he wasn't really informed, but they were planning on getting him some touches. They were planning on getting him involved. And you look, Daniel George, no catches on one target. TJ Jones, no catches, one target. If these other guys, Keandre Lambert-Smith, if these other guys aren't rising to the occasion as the number three, what do you have to lose by throwing the veteran former walk-on player out there and seeing what he can do for you? If he can make just a few plays in the game, that's a few more plays than Penn State was typically getting from its third wide receiver this year.
That's exactly it. All right, we've been talking all positives until now. We still have to talk about the clock management issue again. Dustin, end of the half. There's 36 seconds left. First and goal from the 5. With the timeout remaining, why are they spiking the ball?
I don't know. And I don't think it came up after the game because wins cover that up. That's not a priority item. If you're reporting on this game, it's not a priority item anymore because it didn't contribute to a losing effort as we've seen, but it's just as inexplicable as the other sideline gaffes this year. There's no good mathematical explanation in that situation. First and goal from the 5, 36 seconds. You have a brief stoppage while they move the chains. You have a chance to either get a play in there or call a timeout. You can call timeout in that situation. I know you ended up not calling one at all. You don't have to be so fearful with that amount of time left in the college game that you waste the down. That down was important there, and you saw exactly why. So you spike it on first and goal from the 5, and then everybody knew it was coming, but you still groan out loud anyway when you see the goal line fade on second and goal from the 5. Then the execution isn't there. The play kind of falls apart on third down. And just like that, the whole thing unravels from you being in prime position to come away with 7 points when you know the opponent is going to get the ball to start the second half. And then it ends up being a victory for Michigan to make Penn State settle for 3. And it all started with that spike. I just don't think that James Franklin, if it's not a checklist situation, I just don't know that he's able to respond to the shifting dynamics and the shifting analytics, all the different factors and variables that change constantly in these time management situations. I don't think he's able to really work through that stuff on the fly. I think he's a very procedure oriented guy. And so in so many cases, that's the benefit to Penn State's program. But in this case, what seemed obvious to so many is because it was obvious and James Franklin didn't do the obvious thing. I don't know why I don't think there's a good explanation. There's not an explanation out there that would satisfy me to hear. I'm sure James Franklin has something, but it didn't make any sense. And you saw why.
No, there is no explanation. He can't have it. And he always talks about improving things. This is one of those things, time management. He's not been good at it. Why he doesn't have someone there ready to just advise him on that all the time, I don't understand. One other note, you mentioned our buddy Audrey Snyder once before. I'm going to mention her one more time. On the fade pass, I saw she wrote this weekend, Penn State is now 1-for-8 on the fade pass in the red zone this season.
It makes no sense anyway, but then your top two guys are 5'10". You're not talking about these big behemoths who are going to be 50. They're not 50-50 balls. In this case, they're 12.5% balls.
Okay. We'll end it on that note, Dustin. Next segment, we are going to talk about the defense, which ended up doing a pretty good job. Stick around.
Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code KSN when you sign up for your shot to turn $1 into $100 when betting on either Gonzaga or Baylor to win. That's code KSN during sign-up for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.